way because I was once a fool myself. How many fools we had here before you? Now I'm a fool for Christ. I was a fool for the devil. Now I'm a fool for Christ. Intercession builds a wall of protection around your family, around your job, around your income, around your health, around every area of your life. When you intercede and when you pray for other people, you're inviting God to get involved in their lives.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Oh, he's a wonder in my heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Yeah. to hold on. Don't you ever give up, oh no. You gotta hang on in there. Oh, come on, how many of you gonna hold on no matter how it looks? No matter how you feel, you gotta hold on. Don't you ever give up.
Don't you ever give up.
You got to hold on.
You got to hold on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a bright side. You got to hold on. To hold on. Oh, there is a bright side. Amen.
Don't look back. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Don't look back. Well, this is the last Sunday of Black History Month, and we thank God for all of the things that we have learned from our young people during their 1 minute Black History talks during Sunday school and all that has happened this month to remind us about our history and how befitting the Sunday school lesson this morning, where God told the children of Israel that they should never forget, amen, what he brought them through. Dr. King said that a people who forget their history are doomed to repeat it. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to, amen. I've heard my mother talk about picking cotton and all of that, and just don't sound like a very pleasant experience. And so I tell your neighbor, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. There was a great baseball player, African-American, by the name of Satchel Paige. He was known for his great athleticism. He played in what was known as the Negro Leagues for most of his life, because at that time there was no integration in sports. And so Satchel Paige played in the Negro Leagues, amen. He was known for his athleticism, but he was also known for quotes. He had these quotes, stuff he would say. When you read some of his quotes, sometimes they don't seem to make sense, but when you really look into them and understand them, you discover that they did make a whole lot of sense. One of his quotes was, "Avoid fried meats, which angry up the blood." He was talking about cholesterol. Another one he had was, it said, "If your stomach disputes you, lie down and pacify it with cool thoughts." All he was saying is that stress can cause stomach problems. But the one that I want to bring up and that is applicable to this message today is one that he said, "Don't look back. Something may be gaining on you." And all he was saying in that is that it's not good to dwell on the past. And if you dwell on the past too much, it might catch up with you. Sort of like these scary movies. I don't really care too much for scary movies, but every now and then I watch them. And isn't it interesting how the person that's running from the monster or running from the ghost, amen, the one that's looking back while they're running is the one that always gets caught. Because I'm of the belief that if something is chasing me, amen. Ooh, yeah, I may not be a good example, but if something or somebody is chasing me, I'm not going to be looking back. I'm going to be trying to get where I'm going, amen. Beat me if you can. But the point I want to make today, and the point that this passage makes for us today, is that looking back can be a problem. Don't look back. Satchel Paige said, something may be gaining on you. The Bible also calls for not looking back. And my dad, when he was teaching me how to drive, one of the things he told me, because I had this habit of just looking in the rearview mirror, you know, he said, no, that's not where the most of your attention should be, not in the rearview mirror. He said, the rearview mirror is for glancing at, not glaring at. You need to stay focused on what's in front of you. Do I have a witness today? Looking back may be making you depressed. And we're living in a time where, and I'm talking about church folk, a lot of church people are suffering from depression and all kind of psychosis problems. And a lot of times it's because they are looking back a little bit too much. Looking back not only may make you depressed, looking back may bring about defeat. Because if you get consumed with your past and the stuff that you have absolutely no control of changing, it has already happened. Somebody said there's water under the bridge. If you stay focused on that stuff too long, not only will it cause you to be depressed, but it can also lead ultimately to your defeat. And so I want to suggest to you today a few things that you ought not look back on too much. Number one, don't look back at sins that have been forgiven. Is there anybody in here? I want you to just glance at some stuff you've done in the past. See, because sometimes, you know, we forget the past so much that we start thinking that we saved ourselves. We start thinking that, amen, we're holy in and of ourselves. But is there anybody here today who can glance back in the rearview mirror of your life and admit that you've made some mistakes, you've messed up, you've done some things that you're not proud of? Amen. But what I want to enlighten you to today is that once you have given your life to Jesus, once you have accepted the fact that the blood of Jesus, it don't just cover my sin. Tell your neighbor, it washes my sin away. Is there anybody in here that can testify that your sins, they're not covered? Because I say it all the time, but when something is covered, amen, you meet up with the right joker, they'll pull the covering off of it. Y'all ever met some folk like that? You know, when you sin, when your stuff is covered and you've confided in some folk and you forgot that mad day comes. That's why you got to be careful, amen, who you confide in. Do I have any witnesses in here today? There's some folk, amen, who you tell your past secrets and sins to, but as soon as mad day comes, they're quick to pull the cover off of it. That's why I'm so glad that the blood of Jesus doesn't cover my sins. The blood of Jesus washes them away. Somebody ought to thank God. So don't look back at sins that have been forgiven. Over in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, the writer tells us that, amen, we're guaranteed forgiveness of our sins if we put our trust in Jesus. Look at what he says. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. I like verse 8 too. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Tell your neighbor, because you ain't fooling God. He said, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Oh, but thank God for verse 9. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins. Come on, say that with me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the Greek, that's called tabula rasa, which simply means that God wipes the slate clean. I said he wipes the slate clean. I don't know about you, but I needed another chance. You notice I didn't say second chance. Yeah, I went through that one a whole long time ago. Amen. But I thank God for another chance. And the good news is that God ain't like us, because, you know, you know, people will give you another chance. But, amen, they have not forgotten the stuff you did before. And if the situation is right, they will be quick to remind you, you know, of why they don't trust you so much now. But thanks be to God that when he cleanses us and when he forgives us, he tabula rosa, he wipes the slate clean. So you ought to thank God, amen, that your sins have been forgiven. So don't look back at sins that have been forgiven. Do y'all really understand that God really does put our sins away? I am in Bible country. If you don't believe the report of John, then maybe you can hear the report of David in the 103rd number of Psalms. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." That's why I don't understand how you can't praise God if you know you've been forgiven. Your money may not be just like you want it to be, but amen, if he has forgiven you from some of the stuff you've done, you've got a reason to give him praise. Yeah. Where my folk who know, you got a reason to give him praise. So don't look back at sins that you've been forgiven of. But secondly, you need to not look back at defeats that get you down. Let me tell you, all of us have had some defeated moments in our lives. All of us have fallen, amen? Amen? And the only way you haven't fallen, the only way you've never failed, is you've never tried anything. Now, some people want to live their life comfortably, and, you know, they're afraid of failure, and those are the folk who never step out on faith. But if there's anybody here today who has ever stepped out on faith, you've listened to the voice of God, you've tried to follow the vision of God, you've got to admit that sometimes in your life you were defeated. Amen? I remember when I was in high school, and I know, I haven't talked about this in a long time, but when I was in high school, I never will forget, I ran for junior class president. Amen. And guess what happened? I won. I was the first black elected as junior class president at Leesville High School. Give glory to God. Amen. Amen. I won. And that was good. That was pleasant. But then when it came, when I became a senior and it was time to run for senior class president, one of my most beloved teachers, I love this lady. I respected her. I looked up to her so much. But because there had never been a black senior class president at Leesville High School, and because that was kind of like a sacred position, you know, they reserved that position for somebody with a big family name and all of that. This teacher that I loved, that I respected, she told me, she said, "You don't need to run for that." She said, "You'll never win. You'll never win." And I'm here to tell you that it discouraged me. Amen. But one thing she did know is that my faith was in God. I was a young, amen, 16-year-old, but my faith was in God. And I ran. I ran for senior class president, and guess what happened? I won. Not only was I the first black junior class president and the first black senior class president, I was the first to ever have won both of any race. Give glory to God. But because I won that position, y'all, let me tell you, I caught hell. I'm not talking about the president of the United States. I'm talking about president of the senior class. Amen. They paid a guy to jump on me, and paid this fella. I was at the video arcade, amen, playing my game, amen, Tron, I think the name of the game was. I was playing the game, and something kicked me. I had been kicked. And before you knew it, I was surrounded. There were two or three of us up in there, amen, of this hue. And we got up out of there. And that Monday at the school. My dad said, I'm going to the school to find out if that young man is a student over there because I don't want them to go down at the school. So they called the young man, amen, to the office, and he jumped on the principal. My dad pulled out a little help he had in his pocket and told me to get behind him and said, I got him. You just stay behind me. And the principal was coming out of his office with that young man wrapped around the principal's neck, and the coaches ran in, and they had to get him. All that because, amen, I won senior class president. They wrote all kind of nasty and ugly stuff about me all over the school. Amen. Amen. But the principal told me something because I wanted to quit. I wanted to give up. But the principal, Dr. H. Lynn Russell, God rest his soul, he said, Joseph Garner, let me tell you something. He said, in this life, he said, you can choose to say nothing. You can choose to do nothing. But guess what? You'll never be nothing. I know that ain't good English, but amen. If you live your life in fear of failure, you will never do anything. Is there anybody here who understands today that if God calls you to something, he will qualify you to do it? Not only will he qualify you to do it, he will get your enemies off your back. He will make a way for you. He will open doors for you. So don't look back at defeats because they'll get you down. And don't ever be afraid of failure, amen, because if you get so afraid of failure, you won't try to do good things. God will make a way for you. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verses 23 through 24, that God lifts up those who fall. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I love this. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Is there anybody in here, amen, who understands that the Lord will pick you up? The Lord will turn you around. The Lord will place your feet on solid ground. So don't look back at past sin. Don't look back at past defeats. But not only that, don't look back at the past and say that it was better than the present. How many times y'all hear folk talk about, that was the good old days. That was the good old days. Come on, where are my folk who can say, those were the good old days. Amen. But when you really weigh it out, you discover that what they call the good old days wasn't all that good. Now, come on, be real. I thank God for air conditioning. I thank God for a car to drive. Come on. Some of y'all talking about the good old days. You didn't have to worry about what suit you were going to wear on Sunday. You didn't have a suit. And if you had a suit, what? You had one suit. So is there anybody here who understands that when you look back and start talking about those were the good old days? Amen. It's like saying God ain't able to do today what he did yesterday. Where are my people who know that if God could provide yesterday, he can do it again today? Where are my people who know that if God could heal your body yesterday and you get sick again, amen, the devil wants you to throw in the towel. The devil wants you depressed. But I dare you to stand up and look the devil in the face and say, devil, this is the same God that healed me last year. Amen. You can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. Come on. Won't the Lord make a way for you? So don't look back at the past and talk about it was better than now. Amen. I thank God for right now. I thank God for right now. And so I've come by to encourage you today to not get caught up, not get consumed with your past. If you want to know where you need to look, I'm glad you asked. Number one, you need to look ahead. Come on, come on, come on. Where are my faith walkers? Where are my water walkers? Amen. Who know that my future is going to be brighter than my past. Come on, where are my folk who can say, it may not be right now, amen, but I know I'm going to be the head and not the tail. Where are my folk who can say, I may not be able to see it right now, but I know that in the future I'm going to be the lender and not the borrower. Because my God is a great God. He's working it out. He's making a way out of no way. So if you want to know where to look, look ahead. Well, if you don't want to look ahead, amen, let me tell you where else you need to look. You need to look around. Because sometimes we come up in here mean mugging God. We come up in here with sour faces and sour expressions and won't say amen and won't say thank you, Jesus. That's because we're looking back. But I dare you sometimes to come in the house of God and look around. I heard somebody say, I complained about not having shoes till I looked around and saw a man who didn't have feet. Sometimes your blessing is just in looking around and realizing how good you got it, how blessed you are. Come on, where are my folk who understand that when I look around, I realize, oh my, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Well, if you don't look around, if you don't look ahead, then you sure enough ought to look up. I said you sure enough ought to look up. David said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help, because my help comes from the Lord. And so my brothers and sisters, as you assemble here on this Sunday morning, just remember, don't get caught up in what happened yesterday. I know some of you, if you could testify, could